It's Ladies Night. Thank you for tuning in to Breaking Chains Young Adult Talk on YAT Radio, featuring the Proverbs 31 ladies. Join our host, Elder Kimberly Buford, Associate Pastor of New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia, where Apostle Kyron B. Buford is the pastor, and some of the most anointed women of God, in discussion on what God wants us to be and how to become that Proverbs 31 woman. Let's break some chains with the Proverbs 31 ladies.
Well, praise the Lord, and thank you for joining us today. This is Elder Kimberly Buford, and I thank God that I'm here. I thank God that I have been blessed to have the opportunity to be on this line tonight. Been a little bit attacked by some little bug, but God, I give God all the glory. I'm here. Hallelujah. And I'm talking, which I was not doing 4 days ago. So God, I give God all the glory. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you for another day. We bless you, God. We thank you for all that you have done, are doing, and will do. We thank you, Lord God, for grace. We thank you for health. We thank you for divine health, divine wealth, and divine prosperity. We thank you, Lord God, that you kept us on this side just a little bit longer, Lord God. We repent of every sin, shortcoming, attitude, failing, anything in us that does not reflect your glory, Lord God. We repent right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, have mercy on us, Lord God. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. Wash us, Lord God, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, Lord God. Cleanse us. Cleanse us, Lord God. Cleanse our minds. Cleanse our hearts. Cleanse our mouths, Lord God. Cleanse our attitudes. Cleanse everything about us, Lord God, until we reflect you, Lord God. Lord God, thank you for seating us in heavenly places with our elder brother Christ Jesus, Lord God. Use us this day, Father God. Use our mouths, use our minds, Lord God, to speak those things that you have caused us to know and to learn through you, Lord God, to break yokes and destroy chains, Father God. Destroy those things that are trying to hold us, to bind us. Lord God, not just us, but those listening from all over the world, those that are listening now and those that will listen in the future, Lord God. Destroy those yokes. Break those chains, Lord God. Free the captives, Father God. That's what you sent this program out to do. And we give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We surrender everything, Lord God. We surrender all to you. all that I ever hope to be, I surrender all to you, Lord. I surrender all, giving everything. Everything. You know, sometimes we want to give God something. We want to give God some stuff. We want to give God a few things. But we don't always want to give God everything, because everything ain't convenient to us. Everything means sacrifice. Everything means sanctification. Everything means holiness. Everything means I can't slip, dip, and trip when I want to. Everything means just that. It means everything. Now, please, don't get it twisted. I'm not sitting here saying I'm perfect. I never would fail that lie. But God perfection in a different way than human beings do. God measures that in a totally different way. God measures by the heart. And I'm not one of those that say, oh, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. And the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who could possibly know it? So I could just pray, Lord, I give you all, and I do my best, and I keep a short account. And when I fall short, I'm quick to say, Lord, I messed up. Please forgive me. Please forgive me, Lord. I lost my temper. Lord God, you know I want to choke that woman 5 minutes ago. Please forgive me for the thought and that thought that was in my heart. I have to repent. You have to repent. We have to repent. We have to go to God and say, Lord, forgive us. We messed up. And in keeping that short account, in recognizing his holiness and his sovereignty, in recognizing that we fall short, in recognizing that, you know what, I still mess up, we come close to him. In recognizing that we ain't achieved yet, that we have not yet attained, as Paul would say. We have not yet attained, but we are steadily striving, trying to make it in. Amen. Steadily striving to make it in. Amen, amen. I surrender all. You know, it's interesting. That song was on my heart tonight. And tonight, our lesson is going to talk about this world versus God's kingdom. Where does your allegiance lie? That was on my heart today, too. I've had some things that were really on my heart today, and I've been really dealing with that. But before that, I want to make sure to invite all of our listeners to our New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Deborah's Daughters Women's Ministry. That's our women's ministry, Deborah's Daughters. Our Women's Ministry March into Destiny Conference. It starts on next week, Thursday, March the 10th through Sunday, March the 13th, 2016. If you are in the area, please come and join us. Amen. God is calling all Abigail to step into their purpose. And if you don't know about Abigail, you better go ask somebody. Amen. If you don't know nobody to ask, go to the scriptures. Ask the Holy Ghost. Amen. Go to the scriptures and look up the story about David and Abigail. Amen. There's a lot of meat on that bone right there. I'm going to leave it right there. You got to come next week to get the rest of it. Amen. Amen. Who's on the line with us tonight? Is there anybody on the line with me tonight?
Amen. This is Brother Larry. How you doing?
Hi, Brother Larry. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Hey, man, doing well. Had a little bug that tried to attack, but by the blood of Jesus, we came through. Amen? Amen.
Oh, that's a blessing.
Amen. A couple of days ago, I sounded like a man named Fred. But today I'm all well. Amen. Hey, tonight we're talking about, tonight our topic is the world versus God's kingdom. Where does your allegiance lie? Amen. And I kind of want to almost did like we're doing a topical study tonight, not just a scriptural study where we focus on one scripture, but more of a topical study. And tonight we're talking about the world versus God's kingdom. And you know what made me think about this? What this has been boiling in my spirit is we're looking at the elections and looking at all the madness on television, and I can't help but think about the scripture that says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Woe unto them that call right wrong and wrong right. And I just sit back and shake my head every time I turn the TV on. Basically, I just turn the TV on and turn it back off because it's so frustrating. But I know that God is still in charge. Amen. I know God has not abdicated his throne to Donald Trump. I know God has not abdicated his throne to Hillary Clinton. I know God has not abdicated his throne to President Obama. God has not given his throne to any earthly ruler. Amen. God
Amen.
Is yet on his throne. Amen. He is yet on his throne. And that's the only thing that
Thank
gives
you.
Me hope. Because I know God
Thank
is still in charge. Amen.
Amen.
Because if any of these other folks was in charge, have mercy, Jesus. I remember a part in the scriptures where God gave David a choice, and he said, choose one of these three things to come upon you. And David chose to be in the hands of God. He said, I would rather be in your hands than in the hands of man any day. He said, because at least I know you got mercy. Amen. At least I know you got mercy, Lord. Amen. So let's talk about this, the world versus God's kingdom. You know, I was looking at some scriptures earlier today, and this is the definition. Before I get to the scriptures, this is a definition of culture that I read somewhere when I was thinking about this. Jesus made a comment in John 18:36. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have fought that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. But my kingdom is not from here. Jesus understood where his kingdom was. It is not of this world. God has his kingdom. Now, I know a lot of the time, especially nowadays in a lot of churches, we say that we are kingdom people. Y'all heard it. Y'all read it. Y'all seen it. We kingdom people. We sing it. We are kingdom people, mighty warriors, encouraged believers. We sing it. But do we live it? We speak it, we sing it, we say it, we read it, we write it, but do we really live it? And some of the things of this culture, a lot of people, a lot of church folks, I've seen and heard church folks that will sit back and justify things that they do by saying, well, you know, that's just how the world is. The way we dress, the way we talk, the way we eat, the way our churches are run. A lot of these things are a snapshot of the culture that has infiltrated the church, the music, the tactics, for lack of a better word, that we use to draw people into our ministry. What do y'all think about that before I go any further? What do y'all think about that, those of you that are on the line? What do you think about this so far? Hello? Anybody? Okay, well, I'll just keep on going then. I was reading the definition of culture earlier today. And the definition was saying culture is the system of shared beliefs, values, customs, behaviors, and artifacts that the members of society use to cope with their world and with one another, and that are transmitted from generation to generation with learning. That means we teach it. We pass it on from generation to generation. We teach this stuff to our kids. The totality of socially transmitted behavior patterns, arts, beliefs, institutions, and all other products of human work and thought. Patterns, traits, and products considered as the expression of a particular period, class, community, or population. The predominating attitudes and behaviors that characterize the functioning of a group or organization with respect to a particular category. Intellectual and artistic activity with the works produced by it. The word culture from the Latin colo, air, with its root meaning to cultivate, generally refers to patterns of human activity and the symbolic structures that give such activity significance. Different definitions of culture reflect different theoretical bases of understanding or criteria for evaluating human activity. Anthropologists most commonly use the term culture to refer to the universal human capacity to classify, codify, and communicate their experiences symbolically. What is missing from all of that? There's one thing that's missing from everything I just read. That one aspect that's missing from everything that I just read is God. In everything that I just identified, God is missing. In the past couple of weeks, maybe in the month of February, we have watched between the elections, the Grammys, the Oscars, between all of that madness, we have watched more craziness go on in our culture in 1 month than I think I ever thought I'd be able to tolerate. Maybe I'm just getting a little too old to deal with that stuff anymore. You see people come outside dressed in stuff that look like lingerie with a few beads on it or sequins, and they call it high couture and slap a price tag on it that'll make you choke. And it causes our children, because, again, remember, culture is something you pass down from generation to generation. It causes our children to think, oh, wow, so-and-so wore this, so it must be legit. It must be what we should wear when we go out to hoity-toity places and when we want to look whatever. They look at what these people are wearing. They look at how these people carry themselves. And they say, oh, it's okay to do that. When you are famous and when you're rich and when you're powerful, it's okay to do this. It's okay to look like that. I was looking at a picture of Donald Trump's wife. And this chick didn't have nothing on but looked like aluminum foil. I don't know what it was she had on, but she was dressed up to go somewhere, and I promise it looked like some expensive tan, but it looked like metal that were hung together by hoops or latches, and it was a dress, and she had on nothing under it. Didn't look like anyway, and I'm thinking, wow, we have truly degenerated. Jackie Kennedy would have never worn anything like that. Man. I was looking on a magazine today, and they were talking about Elizabeth Taylor. Elizabeth Taylor was a beautiful woman, but she had some serious issues. I think she was married, what, 7 or 8 times? I can't remember. 7 or 8 times. And one of those times, she actually stole her best friend's husband after her husband died. But in our society, in our culture, it seems like nothing is off limits. And this was 50 years ago. This was over 50 years ago. It seems like almost nothing is off limits in our culture anymore. Between how we dress, how we adorn ourselves, what we do to our bodies, between tattoos. I'm not here to beat up on people with tattoos. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, I'm just making some comments. Over the past 50 years, there's been a shift in things that are acceptable. How we dress, something that I've noticed even in my lifetime, I remember when I grew up, calling somebody past 9 o'clock, yeah, that was discouraged. After 10 o'clock, you just didn't do it. Nowadays, that's not even an issue anymore because now they text 24/7. They Instagram each other, Snapchat all night long. Phones are on, earbuds in ears, and they're, you know, they're supposed to be asleep, but, you know, this is what the new generation does. It's no longer an invasion of privacy. You just have none. And by the way, anyone who's on here, you can jump in anytime you want to. It's a difference in the culture. But what are some things that God says about culture? Some things that God said about culture was, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Okay, let me go back to something I said a few minutes ago. You look at what people wear. You look at the fact I was using Elizabeth Taylor as an example, not beating up on Liz. She had 8 husbands, and one of them was somebody else's after her husband died. You look at that. Some people would see no problem with that. Nowadays, there is an issue about women, actually, the clothes that women wear. The question is, well, what's the big issue about what I wear? I wear what I feel. This is how I feel like expressing myself. And no one has any right to say anything to me. Even in church, if I want to wear a skirt so short that you can see my imagination, or so tight you could count, well, so tight that you could see everything, that's okay because I'm expressing myself. Well, don't you think that there may be a limit to self-expression? No, because I want to be free. Well, your freedom only extends to where somebody else starts. That's something that we have to keep in mind. That's something that we have to take into consideration. And as women, I remember someone telling me a long time ago, there's a difference between a woman and a lady. Women, anybody, any female, anyone born female is a woman, can grow up and become a woman. They mature physically into a woman, but everybody ain't a lady. And I remember that. I keep that in mind. Everybody's not a lady. Everybody born female eventually will physically mature into a woman, but everybody's not a lady. I would prefer to be a lady as opposed to being a generic woman. And nowadays, any man can be a woman. All depends. Anyway, I'm not going to go there today. That's not what I'm talking about. But just saying, God said to focus on him. He said, seek first his kingdom. His kingdom. His kingdom. Let's talk about God's kingdom for 1 second. We already talked about this world, the kingdom of this world. Let's talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is a concept that God reigns and is sovereign over everything, even those earthly powers that think they're in charge. And this domain over which God is sovereign, things are done according to his perfect will, his will and his way. God's dynamic rule of the universe, the values and qualities of which are most clearly manifested in the sayings and the deeds of Jesus. God's rule over the world through his power is through his power and his exercise of it. God can have his way. God can have anything he wants. God can do anything he wants. God is sovereign. And Jesus gave us direction in that. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are pretty much the same idea. God is the king, and we are his subjects. It is not of this world. We, as Christians, are not supposed to be of this world. Jesus and Jesus' authority did not come from man. It came from God. You can't get into the kingdom of God just by being a man or a woman. You know, I've heard people say, well, we're all God's children. Well, no, that ain't what God said. God says you had to come through. You had to come a different way. You had to come by Jesus. You had to come by the blood. You had to come a different way. We are all born of the water. We all come through the birth of a woman. But we got to go through the second birth in order to come to God. We got to come a second time. We have to repent to get there. And we have to seek his kingdom first in everything else that we see. Again, anybody can jump in, they want to. I say all that to say, which kingdom do we really have allegiance to? Which kingdom are we really trying to stay in touch with? Or are we just trying to straddle the fence and keep one foot in both of them? God said, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that other stuff that we seek shall be added on to us. Okay. Well, you know, let's talk about church for a minute. A lot of the time we belong to church and we want to do well in our church. We want to do right by our church. But, you know, I got to go to work. I have responsibilities at work. I have things I have to do at work. I have responsibilities at home. A lot of the time, I can't do the stuff that God wants us to do. What kind of stuff is God asking us to do? What is God really asking us for? What does God really want from us? Hello? Anybody? Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Hey. He wants us to love each other and to love him.
Okay. And you know what? Those are his top commandments, isn't it?
Yep.
Those are the numbers. That's one and two right there. Love me and love each other. That seems pretty cut and dry, right? Right?
I think so. I think so.
Okay. That sounds pretty cut and dry. But is it really, what does that mean, though? What does that mean in light of our culture? What does that mean in light of our culture? Love God and love each other. Well, love God and love each other. Well, I go to a job where there's backbiting, there's political intrigue, there are people backstabbing and ladder climbing. How do I reconcile my walk with Christ? With being in a political job environment.
This is something that I have grappled with a lot, and the one way that I say that I keep on the right path is by reading my word.
Amen.
And I feel if I read my word, then I'm in relationship with God, and I can discern what He wants me to do, and I feel like that's a showing of love to carve out that time.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there because you really did enter with a key word. You said discernment. You said discern, mm-hmm. And you know what? That is what every child of God needs to pray for is discernment. We need to understand. It's not discernment of people. Ooh, I discern that you a witch. No, it's not. We ain't talking about that kind of stuff, okay? We're talking about discerning of spirits. You're not discerning people. We're discerning spirits. We're recognizing the spirit behind a thing, okay? So when we're discerning, we're discerning God's will in a situation. We're discerning situations that might not be where God wants us to be or what God needs us to be in. Amen? So that's that discernment that we're stepping in here with. And that's a good thing because then we're figuring out God's will. Because remember, when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. We want God's will to be done in this earth as it already is in heaven. We want God's will to be accomplished. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we have that, we pray for that discernment in that situation. Okay? I'm going to give you another situation. In our culture, quote unquote, I was using the example of the political arena that we're watching right now. And we're watching the complete and total madness that has ensued that we call our political race between the Democrats and the Republicans. We are watching the mudslinging and the fact checks when the debates are over, and you know, they talking about each other's wives and you talking about this, that, and the other. And I did bring up the fact that I saw a picture of Donald Trump's wife and it looked like she was dressed in aluminum foil. She had this little tin thing. Did you see that? She had this, it was like a metal dress that was held together by hooks, and it didn't look like she had anything under it. Now, and I use the example, you would never see Jackie Kennedy dressed like that.
Right.
If Michelle Obama was dressed like that, they'd have shot her. They'd have done something. They would have called the hounds out. Okay? Oh, look, we told you she was, all of that kind of stuff. But again, we got all this political intrigue, the madness, all this kind of stuff. And in the sidebar, I just got to say this. Why do women dress like that? Why is it okay for us to dress like that?
Ooh.
Why is it okay for us to dress like that? Under any circumstances, why is it okay? Why is it okay for us to go to the Grammys or to the Oscars, dressed like that? Not so much the Oscars. Yes, sometimes the Oscars too. But the Grammys and all of these different places where people go. Why would it be okay for people to dress in such a fashion?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it acceptable? Would it be acceptable for Donald Trump to dress like that? Would it be acceptable for Rufio to dress like that? Would it be acceptable for any man to traipse about half naked?
Nope.
Why is it okay for a woman in our culture to walk around like that? Again, that is a mark of our culture. Our culture says, why you got it, flaunt it, baby. I was watching something on YouTube yesterday. It was a situation where this pastor, I don't know his name, Megan Good is his wife, the actress Megan Good. And she was... they were talking about how he shut this woman down for criticizing his wife. And off the top, I want to say brother was absolutely correct for shutting somebody down for criticizing his wife. That's what a man's supposed to do. You protect your wife. That's what a man is supposed to do. And in this culture, we don't see that often enough. We don't see men that step up and protect their wives. Amen? And that's one thing that a man is supposed to do, protect your wife. If you feel like anybody throwing shade or hurting your wife, hey, you can step in and be the man. What I didn't agree with was the comments that came behind it, that people began to attack the woman for what she said. Because what she was saying was she did the right thing the wrong way. She was trying to give correction to somebody who's young in Christ, but she didn't do it the right way because she went about it in a public forum when all she should have done was found a private way of doing it. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Am I making sense? She should have found a private way to do that. She made the comment that she had seen her somewhere and she was dressed inappropriately. And then she went about, quote-unquote, correcting it the wrong way. And people started to attack all Christians. Well, who y'all think you are trying to correct folks? And, you know, y'all need to mind your own business and you don't need to judge and this and that. Well, that is not what the scriptures say. That's not what the Bible says. And she was doing the right thing the wrong way and probably with wrong motive. But correction was correct. Did I make any sense when I said that?
Yeah.
Did that make sense? The correction was correct. It was just done way wrong. And it was done in a way that would hurt and harm as opposed to build up and help.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody went off on a tangent. That's what I hate about church folk now. And then we go off on a tangent. Again, a sign of the culture. Well, that's all right, because you can go and you can dress like this when you go out and then and do this, that, and the other when you go to church. Okay, that's called being a hypocrite. What you think about that? What you think about that, Sister Rochelle?
I think that you're absolutely right that it's cultural, and because other cultures maybe even a little bit more extreme than we are, some of the European cultures. And then some of the other cultures are super conservative. A lot of the Asian countries and then the Middle East is super conservative. But as far as like women's clothing. But
right.
I see it in the kids' stores. You know,
yes.
Where they've
yes.
got, you know, the stomach showing and the, you know, cutie pie across the back, you know, across the bottom and things like
it's
that.
It's hypersexualizing
those...
our children. It hypersexualizes our children.
The, you know, their heels. Why are their heels for a 5-year-old? And like,
Thank you. It's cute,
but it's like, no. And so, our kids think they need to have that. Our kids begin that competition for beauty and keeping up at a very young age.
Yes. Did I tell you, did you hear the theme for tonight?
No,
I didn't.
This world
versus God's kingdom, where does your allegiance lie? And this is exactly what you're talking about. See, the Bible talks totally opposite to everything that we learn in the world's culture, in the world's system. The world teaches, baby, if you got it, flaunt it. Show it off while you still got it. Matter of fact, one of the comments that I read, while you still young and got it, go on and show it. They just mad because they old. What kind of madness is that? You sound ignorant. That it sounds foolish. It sounds like something a child would say. But again, we're dealing with that immaturity. But these are the same people that will come to church on Sunday and swear they saved. Okay?
And, you know, I've seen that sort of, especially when it comes to clothing, within the church. That same desire to be thought of as beautiful and to be desirable based on your clothing.
In church. Why is it okay to wear a dress barely covering your butt in church?
Right.
Why is it okay? Because if it's barely covering your butt when you're standing, you know it ain't covering nothing when you're sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it okay to have all your girls hanging out? Why is that okay in church? Why is it okay, period? But see, we're trying to bring the culture into the church.
And, you know, I did struggle with this too, and I just got rid of some clothes that probably stayed in my closet too long. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was just keeping them. I wasn't wearing them,
but
I was
just
keeping them.
Couldn't part with them.
I just couldn't.
I understand. Been there.
You know, and I was like, oh, no, like, am I going to have to look like someone from Little House on the Prairie because I'm a Christian?
No.
Like, isn't there a way to do this and still, you know, feel good about myself when I put on my clothing?
And still
look young. Should I just wear a curtain?
And still be like Carol Burnett and Gone with the Wind. But you know what? I can relate. When I first got saved, I wasn't 30 years old. And I was still young. And I think I still had it going on. Still had a lot of clothes in my closet that really didn't need to be there. But God had to teach me how to dress. And one of the things that I had on, one of the things that I wore one day, you know, I was back, and this was in the early 90s. And, yes, we wore leggings in the early 90s. Now, I had put my ripped-up jeans to pasture. I put my ripped-up jeans to pasture, but I still had my leggings that I really loved to wear because they were comfortable. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of women honestly don't dress for men. They dress for each other, and they dress for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, and we understand this, but we have to think about how we look to men. We have to think about how what we wear affects them, okay? We have to think about that when we're in the church. Again, mm-hmm. the two things that you said when I asked you, how do we, what does God want from us? And you said for us to love him and to love our neighbor. Part of loving our neighbor is not being a stumbling block to our neighbor.
Mm.
And if we are voluntarily being a stumbling block, how much love is that showing? So when I first got saved, I asked for, I got dressed. I was the musician for my church. And this was a Wednesday night Bible study. And I put on my leggings and one of my big shirts. And I was getting ready to walk out the door, and I looked in the mirror, and the Holy Ghost checked me. But I was pretty immature at that time and didn't really understand that there was the Holy Spirit talking to me. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying, "Do you really think you ought to wear that?" And, of course, me said, "Sure, I'm fine." And I walked out the door. And went to church, got on the instrument, blah, blah, blah. When the night was over, my pastor came over to me, and he said, "You know, young men are excited by what they see, but mature men are excited about what they don't see. Which one are you trying to attract?"
Wow.
He checked me, but it was in a way to make me think about it. He didn't tell me, "Don't wear that no more." He made me think, what is it that you really want in life? What you project is what you draw. What are you projecting? We have a lot of women out there right now that's projecting a whole bunch of different stuff, and then they get mad when they catch it. They get mad when they hook that raggedy fish. But what kind of bait are you using? I was reading something, and these men were talking about the different bait you use for different fish. And it's the same thing for women. What kind of bait are you using? When you out here, quote-unquote, trying to find a man, which you're not supposed to be trying to do anyway, because the Bible does not say she that findeth the husband finds a good thing, but he that findeth the wife. So you ain't got no business out there looking in the first place. But what do you look like? What are you projecting? Whatever you project, that's what you're going to draw. That might be the reason that you ain't got nothing worth keeping. Especially if you find it in a club, what you expect it to be? But I'm going to leave that alone, too. This world versus God's kingdom. What is there in this culture that is so enamored us that we forget about God? What are some of the things about this culture that get us so excited that we forget about God?
I think that whole entertainment world, the musicians, the TV hosts, the social media stars.
Yeah.
That
and you know, you hit the nail on the head just now talking about social media. Social media has a life of its own. I don't know about you, but I see so many Facebook celebrities.
Yes.
You know, these people who are so important on Facebook, and it's like a fantasy. It's a Facebook fantasy. They live in a fantasy world. And when you sit there on Facebook, especially the people that I always see on Facebook, and they're always got a million selfies. You know, you need to be careful about this, too, because I was reading about 6 months ago, they were talking about what type of scientists were they? It was some type of scientist, and they did this, they did a study of people on Facebook, and they determined that people who were always posting selfies were extremely narcissistic. They had this whole profile that they did up on people who were always on Facebook. And I started thinking about the people who I always saw on Facebook, and I was like, But they were talking about, you know, these people are self-absorbed. I just wonder if maybe we spent half of that time we spent on Facebook, if we spent it in our Bibles, how much different would our lives be? If we spend half that time that we spend on Instagram or Snapchat, I don't know. maybe things when our lives would be a little bit better. Maybe, just maybe. I just threw that out there. But looking at the media, go ahead. I'm sorry.
With something else that social media does, and it's so subtle that you almost don't notice it at first, but it has a way of sort of making you feel bad about yourself,
yes,
and your situation and wanting more,
yes,
and
yes,
not being happy with what, completely opposite,
yes,
of what God wants us to do.
Yes.
And you get swept up and,
yes,
you know, next you're buying the clothes to take the selfie that are inappropriate.
Yes.
It was inappropriate,
you know,
in your mirror.
I got to get my hair done. I got to go get my hair done to take my selfie. You know, I got to make sure my nails on point to go take my selfie.
Attracting people who we don't know.
Yes. Yes. Having people, I know people that start dating people that they met on Facebook. How you date somebody you just met online? But I guess, hey, there are some multi-million-dollar corporations that do that. So, right?
That's true.
Again, how is our culture influencing our walk? Does our culture influence our walk, or does our walk influence our walk?
Hmm.
Which one is influencing our walk? Who should be influencing our walk? How do we flip this thing back around?
Social media, there are pockets of social media that have Christian speakers that will post things for instance, the Christian woman. Periscope is one of those apps where you can receive, you know, live encouragement, send prayer requests daily. And I think that you have to seek out those things in our American culture. You have to go looking for the people who are on a Christian walk and link up with them, be their friend on Facebook, you know, join a Christian's mom group on Instagram.
Okay. Amen. And I'm going to throw something out there that might be totally counterculture, but how about fasting from it?
That's good.
How about actually fasting from it and getting back in touch with true reality? How about taking that time that we used to spend on social media and actually spending it in a real book called the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
I realize that this is a completely novel concept, but taking that time that we might have been spending on social media and taking selfies to gasp, actually pray,
mm-hmm,
to God. Because, you know, when you look at all these things that we're talking about, honestly, who are we worshiping?
Mm.
Sounds like we're worshiping self. Sounds like we're trying to fulfill self, trying to please self, trying to fill whatever void there is for self, instead of turning self over to God and letting him do all of that. I'm just throwing that out there. Just a thought. I'm talking about this world versus God's kingdom. Where does our allegiance lie? How can we determine where our allegiance lies? How can we determine where our allegiance lies? think? You know, I think we've talked about social media. We talked about the culture. But, you know, how many people are actually invested in their local church?
Wow.
And when I say invested, I'm not just talking about financially. I'm talking about time investment, talent investment. How many people are actually invested in their local ministry? I know a lot of people go to church on the internet, and I'm still trying to figure out how that works. And I'm really not being facetious, but I'm still trying to figure out how that works, because I thought church was supposed to be an interactive kind of thing. I thought it was supposed to be a fellowshipping kind of thing. How do you fellowship with a computer? Now, don't get me wrong. I love watching David Jeremiah. I enjoy listening to Chuck Swindoll and Charles Stanley. I do. I enjoy listening to them. But I don't send my tithes to them. I let the people that are sitting in their congregations give their tithes to them, because that's their pastor. But that's not my pastor. You feel what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Now, am I making sense?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just a little touchy about it. I'm just saying, it just seems a bit strange to me that you would give your tithes to somebody. If you got sick, they're not coming to pray for you. They are not going to come to your house and ring your doorbell and come up to your bed and lay hands on you. They're not going to do that. And if you die, they're not coming to your city to bury you. So how do you fellowship with a computer screen? And I think we, in this technologically advanced age, we get a bit beside ourselves with some things. What you think? Am I just being overreactive with that? Am I just being a bit overly touchy with that?
No, you're not. You know, as you were talking about it, I thought about the Book of Acts and how we learn about how the first church operated and how the people
mm-hmm.
were together and they ate
mm-hmm.
together and they helped each other and they gave what
Amen.
They had to be given to others, and you can't do that with only a computer screen. Like
no.
you said, getting encouragement or enrichment,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Enrichment, I like that. Yeah, you can.
But to have that be your only connection to other believers is, I think you're missing out.
Yeah. And even with us, we have our Sunday services online. We actually encourage our members, you know, really come to church. Yeah, we got it online for you if you, you know, if you're traveling or if you're sick or whatever. But this should not be the only way you get fed, you know. I think that's a bit, you know, over the top. Unfortunately, again, there are a lot of people. That's how they do. And they feel like it's okay. And they forget that scripture that says, forsake not the fellowshipping of the brethren one with another. The world says it's okay. The world says, oh, well, you know what? The church isn't important anyway. The church is dying. The church is dwindling in numbers. You've seen these statistics. The church is dwindling in number. People are leaving the churches in droves. Nobody believes in God. Is God dead? Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those things? Is God dead? No, God's not dead. Your conscience is dead, but God's not dead. God is very much alive, and he's waiting for us to stop being so silly. And to stop running. And we're so busy running and trying to do our own thing our own way, that we have not bothered to come and see about what he says. There's another scripture. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, therefore I am sent. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Jesus said that the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. I think about that sometimes, because there is going to come a time when Jesus is coming back. He said he's coming back. Mm-hmm. Will we really be ready? Will we be ready for him when he returns? It seems like we have gone so far from the mark. And let's just talk about the women of God for a second. We're so busy trying to be everything the world says we should be. We're trying to be the breadwinners, and then we got to go out and find our own husband, because, of course, we can't listen to God and wait on him. We got to go out there and find him ourselves. And then we try to take care of our kids without teaching them God's way, because God said to train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. But, of course, we don't go to church because we spend our time with a computer screen and we're working so hard and we're going, you know, all of our focus is going to job and family. We don't spend time with God anymore, so we don't teach our children to pray anymore. And because we're not teaching our children to pray, our children are getting lost by the wayside. And we wonder why God isn't hearing our prayers, even though we really spend no time with him until everything goes wrong. We come to church and, you know, all we really focused on God. Let's talk about the kind of churches sometimes that we're dealing with. Can we talk about that for a second? A lot of the time, the churches that we're dealing with, so many of the ministries that we're dealing with, they take the attitude, I forgot what it's called. Is it called seeker-friendly churches? Have you heard of a seeker-friendly church?
No, I haven't.
Seeker-friendly churches are the ones where they say they want everybody who comes to feel comfortable. So they try not to talk about hell. They try not to say anything that's going to offend. They just want everybody to be happy and joyful, and they just want to encourage, and they don't want to have any symbolism or anything that's going to offend. They try to make it really high-tech and just real new age. Come as you are, don't matter how you dress, just feel joy and peace and grace, with no condemnation, no matter who you are or how you live. You're good, I'm good, we're all good. But I'm not quite telling you everything. Because although God is grace, his judgment is on the other side of that coin. So I'm kind of keeping part of the truth away from you because I want you to keep coming. And I want you to bring your tithes, and I want you to bring your kids. Because although I'm not going to completely teach them everything they need to know, I'm going to tell them nice Bible stories, but I'm not really going to teach them how to pray because I don't want to offend them. And bring your Muslim friends too, because, hey, we all serve the same God. You see where I'm going with this? This world is seeping into God's church until it's no longer God's church, but the world's church. Where does our allegiance lie? Is it in the house of God? Is it with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or is it with God of this world? where does our allegiance lie? What do you think about that?
Wow. Before I became a Christian, I went to all types of different churches. And some of them were so off, were so, you know, out in left field. And like you said, just welcoming in anybody and everybody that I didn't know quite what we were doing there. I didn't quite understand what was going on. But I knew that I wanted to be able to say that I had gone to church, to be honest, at that point in my life. Like,
hold on,
I did
a second. I'm curious about this. Now, you weren't saved, right?
No.
You weren't saved, but you were seeking something.
Yeah.
And when you went into these other places, you knew that wasn't it.
Something wasn't right. A lot of things weren't right.
Wow.
Yeah, they had so many different, they were very nice, you know, very nice. You know, no
of course
one was
they
mean
were nice.
To me. But it was, once I left, I said, well, what are we supposed to do there? What is that? What is it? Like,
wow.
What is the focus?
That was some strange fire, wasn't it?
It's
they were sending up some strange fire.
Wow. I don't know what's going on. I didn't know what was expected of me. I didn't know what the belief system was.
Wow.
Be able to agree or disagree. It never came up.
Wow.
And I know now that that's just not that, that was wrong on so many different levels.
But what
but
is
it
amazing
was,
me? What's amazing me is that you weren't even saved and you knew it wasn't right.
So, you know, and this I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, but it seemed too easy. Like there wasn't anything that was required of me.
Wow.
And it felt uncomfortable. You know, just like I said, I just wasn't. I was like, well, what do I need to do? Like, I'm sure I've got some responsibility. Like, I should be doing something, right?
Wow.
It was just that very relaxed atmosphere that you talked about, welcoming, delicious snacks.
Hey, they had snacks. Here, get coffee.
They had snacks, too. It was wild. Before service. I digress. But
wow.
So I've experienced that type of speaker friendly before, and I can see why it appeals to so many. But you know, I wonder how the constituents and the leadership I wonder how they justify not given the 100% truth.
Wow. That's so deep on so many levels. Because there are going to be people who are members of these types of churches that are going to bust hell wide open with gasoline, drugs, and a match in one hand. And when they hit hell, they are going to be crying out, why didn't you tell me?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't somebody tell me the truth? I thought I was all right. You said I was all right.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some very well-known preachers that tend to waver on some very basic Christian doctrine. And they pretty much say, you're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay. And they welcome some of anything into their church. like you just said. Everybody, come on in. And not saying that everybody's not welcome. But you just said it yourself. It seemed too easy. Don't I have to do something? Yeah, we all have to do something. We got to sacrifice something. Think about this. If God sacrificed his only son, if Jesus sacrificed his very life, if Jesus was beaten and spit on and cursed and nailed to a tree, if he gave his very life that we could should be saved, don't you think that we might have to give up something? Do you think the devil is just going to let you walk away and he's not going to come after you with nothing? And it's just going to be okay? He going to let you come in and take all your stuff and leave? And he's not going to fight you at all with no struggle? I mean, come on. That just don't even sound right. Yes, that might be the way we want it, but that's not reality. The life cycle of a Christian, someone once explained this to me, you are either going into a trial, in the middle of a trial, or coming out of a trial. That is the life cycle of a Christian all the time.
Wow.
That's why we always have to pray, because we are always in the midst of it. And especially when it don't, when it feels calm, that's when you need to pray the most. Because you know something getting ready to come. It's coming from somewhere. He's just trying to lull you to sleep so you miss it.
Wow.
The world versus God's kingdom, where does your allegiance lie? Where is our allegiance? Who do we stand with? If we are with Christ, we're not against him. As long as we are on God's side, we're okay. What does it mean to be on God's side? We cannot align ourselves with the world and expect Christ to tell us, well done. How do we line up with the world? Are we lining up with the world? Do we fall in lockstep with the things of the world? Are we in agreement with the things of the world? We have to analyze our own lives and determine where do we fall. We have to check ourselves and determine whose side am I on? Because the bottom line is, you know what? Anybody standing on the fence going to fall. You can't stand on the fence forever. And God himself nowadays is shaking the fence. The fence is being shaken. Nobody can stand on the fence. And you're going to fall on one side or the other. We need to make sure that we land on the right side. We have to make a choice. And by not making a choice, we have defaulted and made a choice, a wrong choice. When you do not make a choice voluntarily, you make the wrong choice by default. We have to decide. We have to make a conscious decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. Yes, it might be a struggle, but it's the best decision. And one that I personally have never regretted. We've got to choose Christ and follow him all the way until the end, all the way. Christ said if we choose him before men, he will choose us in front of his Father. If we deny him in front of men, he will deny us in front of his Father. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want Christ to deny me. I don't want him to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Man, I cannot imagine. I don't want to imagine in eternity when my life is over and I'm standing in judgment for Christ to tell me, depart from me because I never knew you. Oh, my gosh. That's the ultimate fail. That's the ultimate fail. We have to make sure that we make the right choice. Amen. We're getting ready to shut this down. Does anybody have any comments? Amen. Amen. This has been a very good night. And I want to again encourage everyone to join us for our New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Deborah's Daughters Women's Ministry March into Destiny Conference, which is next week, Thursday, March the 10th through Sunday, March the 13th, 2016. And God is calling all Abigails to step into their purpose. Also, on this same channel, Young Adult Talk, on Friday night is the preparation room. Join men and women of God that are just making way for the presence of God. It is an awesome program at 7 o'clock on the same line. Join, come on out, and just get your feel on Friday night. It's awesome. Come on and join them. And we thank you. We praise God for you. Let's go ahead and pray our way out of this. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the brothers and the sisters that have joined us on the line tonight, Lord God. Thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for talking to us through your word about where our allegiance lies. Thank you, Lord God, for checking us, Lord God, checking us on what's important to us, Lord God, what is most important to us, what's supposed to be most important to us, what should be most important. Is it the world or is it you? Lord God, I say it's you. I claim you. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Lord God, continue to guide us. Order our steps. Be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Guide us, direct us, protect us, Lord God. Order us. Order our lives in the name of Jesus. We trust you, Lord God. We totally trust you. Lord God, following you has been the best decision that we've ever made. Lord God, we pray for each soul on the line. We pray for each family represented. We, Lord God, pray for each person, each ministry that's represented, Lord God. Bless their homes, bless their household, bless their finances, bless the ministries, Lord God. Father God, cause them to draw nigh to you, to draw closer to you, to draw closer to your word, draw closer to your spirit, Father God. For every soul that will hear this program around the world, Lord God, we pray that you would continue to bless them. Break the chains and destroy the yokes, Lord God. Help them to recognize the curse of this culture, Lord God, and to recognize that the only kingdom to belong to is your kingdom, Lord God. Father God, we thank you for all that you have done, are doing, and will do. We thank you, Lord God, for your favor. We thank you for your grace. We love you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Breaking Chains with Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. We praise God for you. We're excited that you were here tonight. Thank you, and we want to see you next week. We love you. God bless you and keep you is our prayer. Amen. Good night.
Good night.